This is our second study of our series entitled The Psalms of David. And today, Brother Arthur is going to speak upon Psalm chapter 21. We call forward Brother Arthur now to speak on that chapter.
I'm sorry about the organ playing there, brothers and sisters, but I just couldn't keep my foot level. In the book on the Psalms compiled by Brother Mansfield, we read that many Psalms are prefaced with such titles as a Psalm of David when he fled from Absalom his son, or a song upon Alamoth to the chief musician on Negeoth on upon Sheminith. And it is said the significance of these inscriptions and their use has been a matter of doubt for centuries. But a suggested explanation which fits the requirements of the Psalms was a suggestion which fits the requirement of the Psalms was advanced by the late Brother J. W. Thurtle, whose setting of the Psalms has been accepted by the Companion Bible and incorporated into the text. When we go to the Hebrew manuscripts, we find there are no breaks, he says, no spaces separating the Psalms from each other as there is in the modern Bible. The only marks of division between them is the number in the margin. The inscriptions, therefore, which have always been more or less gratuitously assumed to be the titles of the Psalms, following them might just as truly be footnotes to the Psalms preceding them. J.W. 30 came to a conclusion by asking whether instead of being superscriptions to the Psalms which follow them, they might be subscriptions, either wholly or in part, to the Psalms which precede them. Now, when we go to the Psalm which we are going to discuss this morning, we find in Psalm 22 that it is to the chief musician upon Jaleth Shahar, a Psalm of David. But as we have read, in accordance with the theory above, it should be the subscription of Psalm 21. So we find then that this subscription to the chief musician upon Jaleth Shahar, a Psalm of David, speaks of the day dawn in which the beams of light from the rising sun are shooting up like horns above the horizon before the sun actually appears. Each of us, brothers and sisters, have seen these rays of light above the horizon in the morning. They herald the dawn of a new day, a new beginning, a beginning when the Sun of Righteousness, in its brightness, shall dispel the night of darkness. The psalm then which we are to consider speaks of the rays of Messiah's coming glory. It tells of his approaching coronation, which is the subject proper of Psalm 21. It speaks of the end of the dark night of Gentile times upon the earth, and it speaks of the beginning, a new beginning, of the rule of the Lord Jesus Christ, a day of rejoicing when that Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. The day when the kingdoms of men, the aggregate of human governments, shall come to an end, and the kingdom of God shall begin to fill the earth. A traditional Jewish interpretation makes this psalm a messianic psalm. In fact, the Targum reads King Messiah in both verses 1 and verses 7. King Messiah. So David, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, penned this psalm, speaking of King Messiah in the day of a new beginning and a new rule upon the earth. With these thoughts in mind, brothers and sisters, let us consider the psalm itself. Brother Robert, last evening, spoke of the fight of faith to overcome. We are speaking now, brothers and sisters, of that time when Christ shall overcome, and those that are faithful with him. In the first and second verse of the psalm we read, "The king shall joy in thy strength, O Yahweh, and in thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. Thou hast given him his heart's desire, and hast not withholden the request of his lips." David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, spoke of this momentous time before he died. And I would like to read, which is a quotation from 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 1. I would like to read the words that Brother Thomas speaks upon this verse. We read, and he said, "Now when David's days were about to be completed, he thus expressed himself in reference to this covenant of the throne and kingdom. In 2 Samuel chapter 23 verse 1 it is written, 'Now these words of David the last, and an oracle of David son of Jesse, even an oracle of the mighty man, enthroned concerning an anointed one of the Elohim of Jacob, and the pleasant theme of Israel's songs. Yahweh's Spirit spake by me, and his word was upon my tongue. Elohim of Israel spake to me, and the Rock of Israel discoursed, saying, There shall be a ruler over mankind, ruling in the righteous precepts of Elohim, and as brightness of morning, that morning without clouds, he shall rise the sun of an unclouded dawn, shining forth after rain upon tender grass out of the earth." And that is the theme of the psalm, brothers and sisters, of which we are to look at this morning. The joy here spoken in this psalm is no doubt the joy spoken by the Apostle Paul in Hebrews 12 and verse 1, when he says, "For the joy set before him, Christ endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." For at this momentous time, brothers and sisters, the salvation of Israel, both of the flesh and of the spirit, shall be realized. Israel shall, through their Messiah, obtain the victory that Robert was speaking about last evening. How Israel shall, through their Messiah, obtain the victory spoken. Those wonderful words of the prophet Isaiah come to mind in chapter 35 and verse 10. "And the ransomed of Yahweh shall return, and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." What a wonderful and a momentous time to consider. "Thou hast," says the psalmist, "given him," that is the King, the Lord Jesus Christ, "his heart's desire, and hast not withholden the request of his lips." The Lord Jesus Christ, we read in the Gospel of John, speaks of the request of his lips, brothers and sisters. If we go to the Gospel according to John and chapter 17, and we have the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ to his Father, verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life as to many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Verse 16. They are not of the world, as Brother Robert pointed out last evening. They are not of the world, these that the Lord Jesus prayed for, even as I am not through thy world, am not of the world. Verse 21. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou givest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. That was the request of the Lord Jesus Christ, that in that wonderful day they might be one, all one in Christ Jesus, in that day of joy when the earth shall be filled with the glory of Yahweh. Verse 3 says, thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold upon his head. The word preventest there in Young's Analytical Concordance is interpreted as come before, and is used in the sense of come before him in Psalm 95 verse 2 when the psalmist declares, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. In that day, all the blessings and goodness spoken of in the promises shall come upon Christ and the faithful. No good thing shall be withholden from the King in that glorious age of righteousness and peace. The psalmist speaks, the psalm speaks of the coronation of the King. And we are told that there is placed upon his head a crown of pure gold, which speaks of glory, honor, and majesty. If we turn to Psalm 2, we shall see how true these words are, that Christ shall become the King of the whole world. Psalm chapter 2, Psalm 2, and verse 1. Why do the nations rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cord from us. He that setteth in the heavens shall laugh. Yahweh shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. Yahweh said unto me, thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, I shall give thee the heathen, the nations, for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them in pieces. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ shall be King of the whole earth. And in this Psalm 21, the King, the Lord Jesus Christ, is crowned with a crown of pure gold. Gold that has had the dross removed by fire. Dross is the impurities taken from the metal under extreme heat. The reign of Christ is one of righteousness and peace, a time when all the dross and the impurities will be taken away. Christ and those with him in that day, those that have been tried through the fire of affliction, have come through victorious to gain the goodness promised. As the Apostle Paul tells us, it is through much tribulation that we shall enter into the kingdom of God, that the dross, the impurities, might be taken away. The Lord Jesus Christ is the King Priest of the age to come. And the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Hebrews, speaks of Melchizedek, that King Priest, a type of Christ, who was, as we read, King of Righteousness, afterwards King of Peace. We won't turn to the Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 1, but there the Apostle Paul tells us that Christ, the Melchizedek, is a type of Christ who will be King of Righteousness, afterward King of Peace. For brethren and sisters, there is no peace without first there be righteousness. We have known in the 6,000 years of man, they have screamed for peace. They are trying their best at the present moment to bring about peace. But there is no righteousness. And with no righteousness, there will be no peace. But when that King of Righteousness shall rule upon the earth, there shall be a peace like as man hath never known before. It is interesting too to read in the book of Exodus the crowning of Aaron. And they made him, we are told, the plate of the holy crown of pure gold. Pure gold. And wrote upon it a writing like to the engravings of a signet. Holiness unto Yahweh. As Brother Robert spoke last night, separated unto Yahweh. Holiness unto Yahweh. The crown was engraved permanently, and it was put on the linen bonnet, which speaks of righteousness, the righteousness, the linenness, the righteousness. And it was placed upon that bonnet, and it was worn by Aaron upon the forehead, the thinking part of the body. It was always to be upon him, upon his forehead, as he went with his work in the tabernacle, the thinking part. And it speaks, does it not, brothers and sisters, of the mind, separated, consecrated unto Yahweh, sealed with the word of Yahweh, like the signet of a seal gives the impression into the clay. So this was engraved in the gold of tried faith, and there he was sealed. And interesting to note, brothers and sisters, that in John's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse 27, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is said, him hath God the Father sealed. Him hath God the Father sealed. Sealed upon the forehead. Christ, what the Word made flesh. His thinking was always upon the Word. His actions was always upon the Word, as was the high priest to be. Those brothers and sisters who shall reign in that age with the Lord Jesus Christ must also go through the fire. All must have the dross taken away. so that they might be found worthy and acceptable of a part and a place in that glorious age to come. In the Apocalypse chapter 5 and verse 9 we read, "And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Our minds then, brothers and sisters, upon our foreheads we must have holiness unto Yahweh, righteousness before peace. In verse 4 of that psalm we read, "He asked life of thee, and thou gavest him even length of days for ever and ever." In Psalm 91 and verse 15 and 16, we turn to that, Psalm 91, verses 15 and 16. We read, "He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." With long life, or as the psalmist tells us in Psalm 21, length of days, immortality. The Epistle of Paul in the Hebrews chapter 9 tells us regarding the Lord Jesus Christ, "Neither by the blood of bulls, of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption." The "us," as we know, is in italics and is not supposed to be there. Christ obtained eternal redemption. He gave his life as a sacrifice of sin. And here is the proof, is it not, brothers and sisters, that our Lord was born as you and I are, mortal, subject to death. As the Apostle Paul reminds us in his letter to the Hebrews, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, who offered a prayer and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him out of death, and was heard in that he feared. Save him out of death, and was heard in that he feared. The Apostle Peter, on the day of Pentecost, speaking the words of David, said, "Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." No, he was risen from the dead and sits at the right hand of the Father in the heavens. Peter says, "Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance." And those very words, brethren and sisters, are the very words spoken in the psalm of which we are considering. It is the expression of the psalmist in verse 6 when he says, "For thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance." With thy countenance. And we can get the meaning, you can we not, brethren and sisters, when we consider a child what pleased the Father in doing something which his Father had asked him to do. The Father shows his pleasure, and the expression or the countenance upon the Father's face pleases the child, knowing that he has done as his Father's wishes. And so, brothers and sisters, in the psalmist we see our Lord is exceeding glad, we are told, for his Father is pleased and blesses him with goodness. His Father blesses him with goodness, even the promises given to Abraham. In Numbers chapter 6 and verse 24 comes to mind, dear brothers and sisters, speaking of the blessing of Yahweh upon those of Israel who had come out of Egypt and were on their way to the promised land. Speak unto Aaron, says Yahweh, and unto his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, Yahweh bless thee and keep thee. Yahweh make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And here we have the expression in the psalm, do we not, of that day when Yahweh's face shall shine with the pleasure of his glory being filled with the earth through the Lord Jesus Christ. He lifts up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. As the prophet Isaiah had told their fathers of Israel, it pleased Yahweh to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of Yahweh shall prosper in his hand. The pleasure of Yahweh shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. Yes, brothers and sisters, Yahweh shall bless the Lord Jesus Christ and those that are one with him in that one wonderful age to come. And he shall divide the spoil of the nations with them, that they might indeed have the cream of the nations of the world. We read in his coronation in the Apocalypse, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb for ever and ever. What a glorious and a momentous time it will be, brothers and sisters, when the Lord Jesus Christ and the faithful of the ages shall set and rule the earth, when all the earth, the glory and the riches and honor of the earth shall be given unto them. What a marvelous time it shall be. Turn to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, we read, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, from the dominion of darkness, and hath translated or changed us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him. The words should be there, through him and for him. And we read, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the ecclesia, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And the Diaglot says regarding that verse 17, and he, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, precedes all things, and in him all things have been permanently placed. Christ is raised above all. He is the firstborn from the dead, and Yahweh gives unto him the glory and the honor that is his due, and he shall rule over the nations. He shall be king over all the earth. Verse 8 and 9 of that psalm tells us, thine hand shall find out all thine enemies. Thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. Yahweh shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Scriptures, brethren and sisters, abound, do they not, with the joyful news that in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, the wicked shall be cut out of the earth. The wicked shall be cut off out of the earth. God will be avenged of his enemies. In our readings last Monday, brothers and sisters, from the Gospel according to Luke in chapter 1, there comes to mind there the prophecy of John the Baptist's father, Zechariah. He spoke of these things, and he says, blessed be Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Brothers and sisters, how important the daily readings are to us. The importance, as Brother Robert spoke, of the daily readings. When we do the daily readings, and when we come to these portions of Scripture, we realize that right from Genesis, right to the book of the Apocalypse, there is a golden chain fitted link by link right through. All the prophets speak with one word. The apostles speak with one word. And they all speak of this momentous time when the wicked shall be swept away from the earth, when righteousness and peace shall prevail, when that Son of righteousness shall rule the earth. They are indeed wonderful prophecies, are they not, brothers and sisters? And as we do our daily readings, they are like little gems here and there as we go through them. Turn to the book of Malachi, speaking of the wicked being swept out of the earth. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 1. For behold, the day cometh, that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day cometh that shall burn them up, saith Yahweh of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise, with healing in his wings, and he shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And he shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in that day, that I shall do this, says Yahweh of hosts. Yes, the wicked shall be driven out of the earth. The Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wing, and he shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Yes, brothers and sisters, and turn to Psalm 68, where we read once again how the wicked will be driven out of the earth. Psalm 68 and verse 1. Let Elohim arise when they were in the wilderness and they moved from one section to the other. The ark was lifted up and went before the Israelites as they went to conquer the nations. Let Elohim arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of Yahweh. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before Elohim. Yea, let them sing exceedingly. Let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto Elohim, righteous be. Sing praises in his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name Yah, and rejoice before him. Yes, we read in Hebrews 1, where the Lord Jesus Christ endured the cross, despised the shame, looking for the joy that was before him. And here we read, let them exceedingly rejoice. And what a time to rejoice when the wicked, those that hate us, are driven away from the earth. In that momentous time, and sisters, the rainbowed angel, Christ and the immortal saints shall go forth triumphantly throughout the earth to destroy the wicked, those that hate those that love God. Turn to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. We read in verse 1, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in Yahweh and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in Yahweh, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto Yahweh. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Verse 9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon Yahweh, they shall inherit the earth for yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Verse 20, But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of Yahweh shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, into smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. Yes, they shall be cut off from the earth. And the prophet Daniel speaks of Babylon. He says, I beheld until the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened, and I beheld then, because of the voice of the words which the horn spake, I beheld till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given to the burning flame. None shall stand before Christ and his anointed ones in that day. None shall stand. The rainbow angel, Christ and the rainbow angel, shall go throughout the earth and destroy the wicked. And the faithful shall enjoy the pleasure of Yahweh's hand. 2 Thessalonians brings it to us most plainly again. 2 Thessalonians in chapter 1. The Apostle Paul, this time speaking, showing once again that Scripture complements Scripture. 2 Thessalonians and chapter 1 and verse 7. And you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction, not eternal torments, as our Catholic friends would tell us, but everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the power of his glory, of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Yes, that day will come when Christ and the immortal saints shall rid the earth of the wicked. In verse 10 of that psalm we read, their fruit thou shalt destroy from the earth, and their seed from among the children of men. Their fruit shalt thou destroy from the earth, and their seed from among the children of men. The fruit of the wicked, brethren and sisters, is that which develops as a result of that which they plant. Men have planted within themselves, brethren and sisters, the lies of the apostasy, which they pass on to their young ones, to their children. The Apostle Paul warned of those in this day of departing from the truth and believing the lies. Turn to Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them that believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and all wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Brethren and sisters, the apostasy have passed the lies onto their children. The duty for each and every of us is to pass on to our children the attendance to reading the Word of God, to exhortation upon the Word of God, and to keep the doctrines as we have them in the Scripture. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And the Apostle Paul once again tells us in his epistle to the Romans, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Yes, brothers and sisters, they are fruit. The fruit that is which the wicked develops at their teaching to their young is to be destroyed from the earth. God is going to destroy them from the earth and their seed from among the children of men. How important it is that we keep the doctrines, as we keep those things that are written and teach them to our children, that when Christ comes, he might find them walking in that way and they might be found acceptable in his sight. In verse 11 of that psalm we read, for they intended evil against thee. They imagined a mischievous device which they are not able to perform. How many times, brethren and sisters, how many times have Israel of the flesh, both natural and spiritual, been subject to the mischievous devices of those who hate them, but who have not been able to perform that which they wish to do? Turn to Psalm 83. Psalm 83. First one. Keep not thou silence, O Elohim. Hold not thy peace and be not still, O El. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from thee in the nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. Yes, the scriptures abound where we read of those who have intended evil against God's chosen people, but have not been able to perform their work. We think, brothers and sisters, of Haman in the day of King Ahasuerus and Queen Esther, who that Haman devised an evil device against the Jews to destroy the Jews out of the 120 provinces of the king, only to have it returned upon his own head. Turn to Esther and chapter 9. Esther and chapter 9. Esther chapter 9 and verse 24. Because Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of all the Jews, had devised against the Jews to destroy them, and had cast Pur, that is the lot, to consume them and to destroy them. But when Esther came before the king, he commanded by letters that his wicked device which he devised against the Jews, should return upon his own head, and that he and his sons should be hanged upon the gallows. He was warned, brothers and sisters, his wife warned him that he would never gain from persecuting the Jews as he did, but he was hanged with his sons. King Farouk of Egypt, some years ago, made the boast that he would drive Israel into the sea. Israel, brothers and sisters, as we are well aware, is still in the land. King Farouk has rotted away in his grave. Hitler attempted to destroy all the Jews upon the earth. He's dead. And since his death, the Jews have become and have their own nation upon the earth. In fact, it was through his persecution of the Jews that many of them went back to the land. God's purpose, of course, that they would be driven there. Isaiah 43 and verse 1 tells us, "Thus saith Yahweh, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am Yahweh thine Elohim, the Holy One of Israel, thy Saviour. I give Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honourable, and I have loved thee. Therefore I will give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him." It's interesting, once again, is it not, brothers and sisters, when he says, "Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. For in that day this earth shall be filled with the glory of Yahweh. The knowledge of Yahweh shall fill the earth, when the saints shall fill the earth and preach the Aeonian gospel, so that Yahweh's name will be glorified both in the Lord Jesus Christ, and Yahweh shall indeed be glorified in that wonderful time." Zechariah, he too speaks of that day when the wicked who come upon Israel shall fear and turn their backs in terror. They shall turn their backs in terror. In the latter days, the days in which we speak, brothers and sisters, Ezekiel speaks of Gog that shall think an evil thought, a mischievous device against the people of Yahweh. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 38. Ezekiel chapter 38. And verse 10. Ezekiel chapter 38 and verse 10. Thus said Adonai Yahweh, it shall also come to pass at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought, just as the psalmist tells us, a mischievous device, an evil thought, and thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages, I will go to them that are rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without bars, walls, and having neither bars nor gate, to take a spoil, and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, which have gotten cattle, goods, and dwell in the midst of the land. Yes, brothers and sisters, Gog shall think a mischievous device, an evil thought, but Yahweh shall turn it, and that they shall be turned upon their own heads. They shall come down upon the mountains of Israel to take a spoil, to take a prey, to have that land which Yahweh placed his name. They try to take it for themselves, but they shall be destroyed upon the mountains of Israel, for that is Yahweh's land. It is mine, and to those to whom I will give it. Verse 12 of that psalm says, therefore thou shalt make them turn their back, when thou shalt make ready thine arrows upon thy strings against the face of them. Turn to Zechariah 9 and verse 9. Zechariah 9 and verse 9. And there we read, and I will, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, he is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the nations, and his dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth. As for also by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit, wherein is no water. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope, even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee, when I have bent Judah for me. Fill the bow with Ephraim, raise up thy sons, O Zion, against thy sons, O Greece, and made thee as a sword of a mighty man. And Yahweh shall be seen over them, and his arrow shall go forth as the lightning, and Adonai Yahweh shall blow the trumpet, and shall go with the whirlwinds of the south. And Yahweh of hosts shall defend them, and they shall devour and subdue with sling stones, and they shall drink and make a noise and through wine, and they shall be filled with bows and at the corners of the altar. And Yahweh their Elohim shall save them in that day, as the flock of his people, for they shall be as the stones of a crown, lifted up, as Brother Robert brought out last night, as an ensign upon the land. Yes, brothers and sisters, they shall be brought to naught. Christ and the saints with the armies of Israel in that day will be unstoppable. The nations today, brothers and sisters, speak as if there is no God. They laugh when God's mighty power is spoken of. They laugh at you when you tell them of the mighty power of God. Such as the wonderful power of creation of the earth and so forth, and of the day when Yahweh will fill this earth with his glory. They laugh. But brothers and sisters, in that day, as the psalmist tells us, in that day, they shall feel the very might and power of Yahweh, and they shall be terrified. It shall come upon their own head. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 10. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 10. Enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust, for fear of Yahweh and for the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down. And Yahweh alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of Yahweh of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. And upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, and upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, and upon every tower and every fence wall, and upon all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all pleasant pictures, and the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and Yahweh alone shall be exalted in that day. What a momentous day, brethren and sisters. Let's make sure that we are on the right side. The time has come, brethren and sisters, when Yahweh, through the power invested in his right arm, the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to be glorified in the earth, and his power will be seen from one end of the earth to the other. This earth shall be filled with my glory, not the glory of man, with my glory, as the waters cover the sea. And all the earth shall rejoice and sing unto his holy name. What a wonderful psalm, brothers and sisters. We haven't really done it justice, but the wonderful thoughts that have come forth. Let us conclude this psalm with Psalm 72. Psalm 72. 72nd Psalm. Speaking of this wonderful day when David, through the power of the Spirit, speaks of an age of righteousness and of peace. Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. Ye shall judge thy people with righteousness, and thy poor with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and the moon endureth. Throughout all generations, he shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, after the judgments of past, brothers and sisters, as showers that water in the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish, an abundance of peace, as long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. Verse 11. All kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. Verse 17. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. And men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Yahweh Elohim, the Elohim of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things, and blessed be his glorious name for ever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and Amen.